Hello, Lifebookers from around the world, and thank you for tuning in to the Lifebook Podcast today for Spiritual Month 2020. I'm your host, Jordan River, and I have a very, very special guest today. She is a speaker and a teacher and a healer and so much more. Zephy Davey is on the line. How are you doing today, Zephy?
Great. Thank you for having me on. I really appreciate that.
Of course. Absolutely thrilled to speak with you for Spiritual Month. For some first-time listeners, could you give a brief background on yourself and your own journey into the spiritual world?
Yes, I will. I'm Greek, actually, and I left Greece when I was 16 years old, but, gone through many different things. By my life, I woke up in the spiritual path when I was 27. And that's almost, I'm not going to say my age, but almost 25 to 30 years ago. And it happened through a shock in my life, which a lot of us, going through this right now, we're waking up through shocks. But at the same time, though, I follow my path and I follow my heart. And it took me through a lot of, tribulations and a lot of learning and a lot of experiences to where I am today. And today I live in Sedona, Arizona. As you know, it's a very spiritual place.
Yes.
And it's got a lot of energy. But at the same time, I travel the world and teach and help and also go back to Greece a lot because that's also a very energetic place, as you know. So I live in two different worlds, like the American world and the European world.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And it's, this path of waking up in the spiritual path, it's more of an inner work. We have to kind of start feeling our inner self and who we want to go, because everything around us right now, it's really falling apart. That the old world that we know, it's really falling apart. And there's the energy of people really wanted to start listening to their intuition, to their feelings, not to their emotions, because the emotions sometimes can steer us wrong, correct?
Mm.
Because they come up in a different way, but their feelings.
Right.
So my path has been that, following my feelings, learning from India, learning from different teachers, learning, going and traveling, and also doing my work through experiences.
Oh, I love it. Absolutely love it. ZephyDavey.com is where you can go. ZephyDevi.com. Okay, so where do I want to dive in first? I want to make sure that we cover all the bases here. I'm just going to get down to the practical strategies and maybe combine it with your story a little bit if you'd like. Out of all your spiritual research, all of your spiritual journeys and practices, what have you found to be the most transformational? Maybe for you personally, or just ones that you find particularly impactful, whether it's energy healing, meditation, connection with nature. I mean, don't let me put words in your mouth. What transformed you the most?
All that stuff is part of it.
Uh-huh.
And what really transformed me really the most is the connecting with the feminine energy, which is the Mother Earth, correct? That's, and in our world, a little bit, we talk about the goddess, but it's the feminine, it's the intuition, it's the feelings, it's the, really sit and listen instead of go, which is, an energy that is too much for us sometimes as human beings. And we can't really, really understand ourselves. So the feminine, that's what the feminine means, correct? The emotional, the soft, the center side that we all have, males and females, we all have that side. And to me, meditation is part of it. Going into nature is part of it. Energy work is part of it. But the most important thing is starting to look at my deep, deep traumas of my life, my deep emotional side, the stuff that, really sometimes is hard for us to look at. But once you look at it, you get reborn because you let it go. You just release it.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. When you brought up the masculine and feminine energies, I take a look at, my society here in the United States, a lot of Western modern society. Like you said, you have kind of one foot in, one foot out. I worry that we're in kind of a spiritual crisis, and maybe every generation feels that way. But I also worry that we are definitely ignoring our feminine energy in the way we construct our societies. It is all about masculinity, just achievement and speak and A-type personality and assert and all of these things. Is that necessarily a bad thing? Do you think there's a bit of an, I feel there's a bit of an imbalance there. But maybe this is all part of a progressive journey. I don't know. What do you think about that?
Well, I think the imbalance, we've been seeing it for a long time. But now, for some reason, even the energies of the Mother Earth are supporting us to actually start understanding our feelings, you know? Like, and sitting in your house for the past, it's almost 6 weeks or how long it's been in different parts of the world.
Right.
It's making you to really look at yourself truly. And a lot of my people that I work with are like, this is feels so nice and feels so balanced. And I feel so relaxed in my home that I can actually look at myself in a different way instead of go, 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 go. But I can also be very productive.
Right.
You know, by just being very calm and very centered. So I would say we all been doing that. And a lot of us have, the little, not looking at our feminine side for a very long time. But I think finally, it's the wake up call. We need it.
Wow.
And it might take a little time. It might take a few years, correct?
Totally.
For us to balance it all out. But it will balance. And I have a very much faith in that humanity is going to start seeing that the ancient world had a lot of good teachings and a lot of good lessons about it. And now we're finally going to take part of that ancient world, combine it with the world we just passed, the doer, you know, go, 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 the masculine
right.
world, and bring it back into the balance.
That's perfect.
I feel that's going to happen.
I absolutely love that. And I think it's also, you use the word faith, right? And I think that's such a great, powerful word. And it's been a little bit like misused. It's almost like you either have faith or you're a science-based reason. It's like, no, we all need some level of faith. If you want to go through life and think that you can break down everything to the nth degree, understand everything, control everything, you're going to have a hard time. Those who are truly centered, and I feel anyways, are really grounded, there is faith there, one way or another. You know, a lot of times it's a traditional religious faith. Sometimes it's not. There is some kind of faith there. Would you agree? And would you say that maybe we're doing a disservice by prying faith out of certain parts of our lives?
Well, even the scientists have faith. They have faith in something they're going to research. They
That's
might not
true.
Call it faith, but they call it, you know, let me find this. What's going on? So something
sure.
inside is calling them.
That's true.
To me, that's faith.
Yeah, faith in their colleagues, faith in the system. That's a good point too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So then the spiritual people have faith. So if we can bring those two together, can you imagine where the world can go instead
totally.
Of having the two separations? I love scientists. I think the scientific world is really amazing because it confirms my spiritual work. And a lot of my healing work gets confirmed by the doctors. Like, for example, you have to, your immune system. That has to stay strong, correct?
Mm-hmm.
We've been knowing that in the healing arts for many, many years.
Right.
But the doctors are talking about it right now.
Yeah,
you know,
true.
Like keep your immune system, you know, healthy and take your vitamin C and do the work you need to do. Don't have stress in your life.
Yeah, I was just going to say stress is something that is even really coming up. Like you have mainstream MDs talking about, listen, stress really does lower your immune system. You guys should be doing anything you can to lower your stress. You hear doctors talking about meditation now. It's really, really
exactly.
cool. You're right.
So,
yeah.
So this is my faith is combined into that the world is going to get together, you know, and to me, that's inner faith. Of course, you can have faith in spiritualism and you're religious and all that stuff, you know, because we are, that's inside of us. That's in our DNA. But also, you know, not to push away the faith, the scientific part. We have to bring it together inside of us. And that's the masculine and the feminine that we just talked about a little bit earlier.
Yes, absolutely. I love it. We're vibing right now, Zeffy. This is powerful stuff. I feel that, you know, people are affected by this pandemic wildly differently, it feels. I know that I'm having a different experience than many people out there. Regardless of our experience, what do you recommend that we focus on in this time?
You know, a lot of people saying, let me focus in different directions, but I want to focus into actually focusing. What do we do every day? You know, like to focus from the moment that we wake up, that we want to be in this positive state, that we know we're going to be okay, that, you know, it's like a daily focus practice. That's the best way I can explain it.
Mm.
Instead of thinking of the future, what's going to happen tomorrow, no one knows, right? But if we keep our energy, closer to us, and just say, I get up in the morning, and what do I want to focus for today, right now, at this moment? Like, I'm talking to you right now. I want to focus into you, into the people that we're going to reach. That mm-hmm. is the focus. Instead of me thinking what's going to happen tomorrow, if I'm going to eat or I'm going to go shopping or whatever, you know?
Right.
So I would definitely recommend for people to actually focus right now. And the more we focus, the pandemic is actually going to step behind because we're not giving energy to it. We're not giving power to it.
Yes.
You know, we're giving power to ourselves. There, I'm here. I'm strong. I'm grounded. I'm really looking at myself and I'm not afraid of the pandemic or whatever it's out there.
Yes.
To, you know,
that's exactly right. So living in the moment combined with intention.
Yes.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Because what steals that is what is going on right now, right? The constant news feed, the idea that there is an impending danger out there. There's no quicker way to steal being in the moment than thinking about a looming danger. So I agree. You kind of take your strength back and take your consciousness back to a degree.
Yeah. And that's the thing of the new, where we're going spiritually is to actually find our own strength and to be conscious about what we're doing. Because there's no danger out there. We can go in the sun and really enjoy the sun. Mm. There's really no danger out there. You know, we create the danger in our minds. Yeah.
That's right. And the fact is that we're never going to be, like you said, we're never going to be fully safe. Like there's a comfort in accepting that. There's really, it's not like, hey, get used to it. The world is a dangerous place. It's like, no, we live in a wildly complex universe and you can't control it. And sometimes things are dangerous, but step into that, right? How can we step more deeply into the faith to where we're not, you know, constantly doubting, constantly going worst case scenario? How do you recommend that Life Booker specifically connect more deeply with that hope and that faith?
Well, you know, I would say meditation is more important. Like, and it doesn't have to be just meditation, but be quiet with yourself.
Sure.
And listen to your inner self. Does your inner heart feels danger? No, it's the ego that feels the danger, correct? So if you can learn how to separate those two, and you're like, oh, you know, I can walk outside. I can go to the store. I can really, you know, talk to people maybe in the distance, but I can talk to them and not afraid to do that daily thing. That is the key, because, you know, the more we're afraid, the more we create fear. But, you know, look what had happened in the earth. Look how cleaned up the earth has become.
Yeah.
Because there's no fear, not as much as it used to be. And it's not as much of the doer, doer, doer. Look what has happened. You know, the energy is so much crisper. The sea is crisper. The air is nicer.
Wow.
The animals are going out. You know,
so
it's
wild.
Kind of funny.
Yeah,
it is. It's
really wild. Do you think that this is going to change some things forever? I feel like we're going to go back to a pretty normal life. I mean, there's actually a lot of research coming out that's giving us more clarity on this situation. I think we're moving in the right direction and things will go back to, quote, normal. But I do feel that there's been a little bit of a change in certain areas of society, obviously, you know, things to do with education and online, this or that, but also within our own ego, within our own spirits. I think that maybe this pandemic is really exposing our spirituality, and some people are stepping up to the challenge and being those frontline heroes. Other people are maybe not as resilient as they may have thought under pressure. I think that it's also highlighted the important things. All the BS goes out the window when there's a pandemic. Then it gets down to really, you know, caring for your neighbor and things like this. Do you feel that this is, I know this is a loaded question. I know what you're going to say. Do you feel like this is a massive energetic shift that's going to have repercussions forever?
Well, yes. Yes, it is going to have, and in a good way, repercussions.
Right.
Because what it taught us is, like you said earlier, not to have everything in control, because we can never control life. And a lot of us in the previous world, in a sense, in the previous experience, you know, that we were having as human beings, we wanted to control everything. We want to make sure that we get up in the morning and our water is full, or we brushed our teeth, or whatever.
Everything.
Now we let it, everything is in order, correct?
Yes,
and
precisely.
And a lot of and if a lot of people don't have this order thing happening, they're kind of losing it. You know, they're afraid because their fear of their life is getting shaken up. Mm-hmm. Now the life got shook up, and I think now there is an easiness with it. You know, there is like the. It's 40 days. It's a little bit longer than 40 days, which is a very auspicious number also. You know, it's a very It's 40 days of Jesus. It's 40 days. It's a very auspicious number. Hmm. Every clearing happens in 40 days. Wow. Right?
Cool.
And it's been taught in the books, and we see it. And the whole world is changing. Even, you know, in Greece, the babies to come out of their house after they're born,
right,
it takes them 40 days, you know? They don't take them out when they're newborn. I mean, in the new world would do that. But some countries, you know, they keep
I just read that same thing. That is fascinating.
So 40 days is a very powerful time that see it like we were in the womb and now we're coming born again with all this different new energy that is about, you know, like a little baby. A little baby does not control anything, correct?
Right.
Who controls it? It's the adult. So we can blend the adult mind and the baby, the little child in us, and then have fun with this and be born again and let go of what we thought it was or what we think it should be.
Yes.
You know?
Powerful. Absolutely. I agree with that 100%, Zephy. That's powerful, powerful stuff. You mentioned your roots in Greece. One of the most fascinating cultures historically. One of the most fascinating cultures spiritually. I mean, is there like Greek mythology? My God. Do you think that it's important to connect with our history and with our spirituality and realize that humans are strong and they're powerful and they've been through worse and they've overcome incredible odds? If you don't learn that stuff, you just kind of feel like, why is this happening to me? But if you know about the Greek Battle of Thermopylae holding off the million Persians, that brings you strength. Ancestral strength, maybe? I'm stepping out of my league a little bit here. Would you agree with that? I think it's important to connect with our history and our spirituality and the human character, right?
I agree with that because, and the Greeks just went through a very big money issue, you know, the financial economy for the past 10 years, which is a thing of now. It's not mm-hmm. just our ancestry.
True.
But there, again, they build up that, they have that DNA that we have gone through a lot. We can win it. The 300 is one of my favorite movies. I don't know. Love it. I just, you know, when I was playing in Sedona theater that I saw it, I got up and started, yes, the Greeks. But the ancestral history is so important for all of us, you mm-hmm. know. And I know America is only like 300 years old, but still there is an ancestral, there's in, you know, a memory here that we have.
Right.
Even 300 years old, there's a lot there that we can take from and really True. Work within ourselves. And the Greeks, yeah, have survived through a lot. And, you know, even in this, with the coronavirus, they have proven to be very, how you say, adapting to it. And we had very little deaths, like the country, you know, like Italy and Spain, which is next to us, like pretty much Italy is next to us, exactly. Right. And I have a little bit of Italian roots also from my DNA. But they went through a really tough time. Mm-hmm. The Greeks hold it. You know, we only had like 110 deaths or something Whoa. Like that. Nothing. Yeah, very little. Very little. Because yeah. they all believed or like stick together, take care of our neighbor. Let's just, you know, listen to what's going on and take care of ourselves.
Yeah, that's interesting. So, yeah. But yeah, you're right. That ancestral heritage is very important. Anyone who can draw upon that stuff, I think that's ever important and important to pass that on. Who's been the biggest influences to you as far as resources or gurus? Who do you really admire and kind of take after?
I will go to my first guru with my first experience. One of them is Yogananda, that I got the first book that many years ago that it was, you know, given to me a gift. And that was my wake up steps into this path. Mm-hmm. And the second one was Muktananda, which is I don't know if you ever heard of him, which is Guru Mai in New York. She was big in New York and at the time. And the books fell on my head. So I had to study them.
Fell on your head?
Yeah, in the bookstore. I was walking in New York in this bookstore and a couple of Muktananda's books Whoa. Fell on my head. I was just there and it was very funny.
That's but, wild.
I know.
Literally a sign falling from the sky.
It was just when I was waking up, you know, and Whoa. And I had to wake up. I had to get, like I said, you know, a hit in my head to just really wake up. But then since then, there's a lot of other gurus that they're not very famous. And because I do follow the goddess energy and the goddess path, but also my Greek ancestry of the mythology, because we believe in the ancient mythology is actually not just the myth. It's actually, it's a lot of it is the truth, you know?
Yeah. Absolutely.
A lot of our, you know, the major philosophers who read about it, like wrote it, you know, like Plato and Aristoteles and all those great philosophers have written this thing. And Plato actually is one of the first ones that wrote about the how a society should live nice and connected. It's mm-hmm. called Gallipoli. There's a great book on that. So yes, I draw from everybody. And of course, the Native Americans, because I live really close to the Hopis and the Navajos, you know? So I take, you know, the shamanism. I don't know what to say. It's so much. The Tibetan tradition. I'm very much follow, you know, used to follow a lot of the Tibetan tradition, and I still have gurus and teachers into that. And so it's just what calls me, you know? What calls me is inside of me. And if it feels right inside, I follow it. If it doesn't, I don't.
That's lovely advice. I think that's not a bad choice to model after their life bookers. How can you help those who want to just ignite their spirituality in this coming year? Maybe some parting words, some parting wisdom. Connect deeper with our spirituality. Connect deeper with the energy of the world. What advice do you have?
First of all, I would say start feeling secure about who you are. No matter you're good or you're bad inside, because we all have it. And look at it. Look at the bad and love it. Look at the good and even make it stronger, you know? Mm. And then your spiritual awakening will happen slowly. Look at the traumas in your life and say, oh, that happened to me. That's great. But can I let it go now? Can I release it? Can I move towards this new energy that is on my way? Instead of saying, oh, why is this happening to me? We don't want to be in this drama anymore. Enough of, you know, we've been in a lot of drama for many thousands of years. And that drama should be done by now inside of us. And this is how I help people really recognize their trauma and their drama, because the both are created together, correct? You have a trauma and then you create the drama around the trauma.
True.
And it's okay. We can go into it. But, you know, like we say here in Sedona, enough of processing. Step into it now. Ground yourself. Mm. You know, you don't need to constantly process in 20 years of your father, you know, 20 years of your mother. Now ground this energy, who you are. They brought you into the world for a reason. They love you for whatever they can love you. Let them go, forgive them, and really discover you. And that's what a lot of the process that I help people to discover who they are. And I do have a lot of love of helping women, because women has been more traumatized, a lot more traumatized. Mm-hmm. And that's actually a lot of my focus. And I work with a lot of men also, but my focus is for the feminine, feminine to actually get to the next place and help, because we are the barriers of the baby. We carry it, you know? So how we want to give a new energy to this so we can get new people into the world.
Incredible. Safi, absolutely incredible. For the life bookers who are wondering where they can find out more, where can you send them?
My webpage would be zafidavy.com. And I also got a YouTube that is called The Energy of the Week. And once a week, I'll go in there and talk about the energy of the earth and what to expect. And this week, it was about magical, you know, about really magic things happening in your life. And so people should watch that. Yeah, can you feel it?
I do in my life.
Exactly. And people should watch what really appeared. They wanted really deep for a very long time this week. It was from Wednesday to Monday, the energy. And if something they wanted for a very long time, very deep, it will appear for them. But they really needed to wanted it for a long time, you know? Just, I want money, you know what I mean? Like deep feelings and stuff they wanted to create in their life. So this is a perfect creation time. Even if we're under a coronavirus.
You heard her, life bookers. It's a great time for creation. I'm sure that counts for crafting your life vision too. ZEFFIDEVI.com. Check her out, everybody. Zefi, thank you so much for doing this. We appreciate you taking time.
Thank you so much, and appreciate you having me on.
Of course, everyone listening. Good luck out there. Stay safe, stay healthy, stay in your life vision. Work it, folks. We're here to help you. Have an extraordinary day out there, life bookers. We'll see you next time on the Lifebook Member Podcast.